Thank you for visiting the Center on Psychiatric Disability and Co-occurring Medical Conditions. The following recording is part of our Health and Wellness podcast library. For more information about our center, please visit our website at www.cmhsrp.uic.edu/health.
Today I'm going to talk to you about integrated healthcare from the point of view of some European countries. Why should we care about European healthcare? Well, as you may know, the United States has the highest overall spending in healthcare of any industrialized nation, the lowest percentage of its population covered by government healthcare programs as well, according to a survey done in 2006. So, together with this spending, unfortunately, we also have the highest rate of deaths that could be amenable to healthcare interventions in the industrialized world. What does that mean? It means that we have the highest rate of death from heart attacks, strokes, diabetes, bacterial infections, etc., that we could do something about for people who are under 75 years of age in the industrialized world. So, for example, the United States had 95 deaths per 100,000 in 2012 from such illnesses, while France had 55 deaths per 100,000 in that same year. Bazou, a healthcare economist, theorizes that, among other things, these poor outcomes relate to differences in the countries in social welfare policies, in the degree of income inequality, the availability of high-risk products like alcohol, tobacco, high-calorie, low-nutrient foods, which all play a role in this discrepancy. So what does this have to do with integrated healthcare? Bottom line is, in general, we are not getting our money's worth in healthcare. The discrepancy between the cost for our health care and the value we get for our money also contributes to the problems we have in helping people with serious mental health issues get the physical and mental health care they need to overcome the gap in lifespan that exists between those with diagnoses of mental health issues and those without such diagnoses, and that is 25 fewer years than the average American. So can we learn anything about integrated care from countries that have better overall healthcare systems? To understand this, we have to first take a look at the basic differences. The underlying philosophies in the United States and countries like Netherlands and Sweden are different, and they play a role in how healthcare is viewed. So, for example, in the United States, we value self-sufficiency, taking care of yourself, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. We think a government is necessary, but we see government support pretty much as a last resort for survival kinds of issues. So if someone, for example, think FEMA, hurricane disaster relief, or if someone has been unemployed for reasons that are not of their own doing for long periods of time, the government steps in and extends workmen's compensation benefits, etc. So we see government support as the last resort. In the European Union or the social democracies, healthcare, being healthy, and the state of well-being is seen as a basic right for citizens of the country. It's a right. The government takes a lot of taxes from individuals for the collective good, and that's seen as a positive. In return for those high taxes, citizens of countries, as I say, like the Netherlands and Sweden and other Scandinavian countries, get free education, low cost to free health care, support in their old age, etc. So they're willing to take that trade-off, if you like. Let's talk about the Netherlands in specifics. Now, the Netherlands has been rated as having the best health care in the industrialized world, the lowest cost and the highest health outcomes for its dollar. So how the Netherlands works is that it requires its citizens to buy basic health insurance. The government defines what basic health insurance should be. And by law, every citizen has to have basic health insurance. So there are no uninsured people in the Netherlands. You can buy more insurance for more coverage if you want to, but that's your choice. Healthcare for people with long-term conditions, however, is automatically paid for by the government. And until about 10 years ago, healthcare for people with serious mental illnesses was provided within the context of institutional care. Institutional care, which meant psychiatric hospitals, included inpatient care and some outpatient services for those who were discharged from those hospitals. However, the rate of deinstitutionalization was very slow in the Netherlands. In the period of time when the U.S. decreased its hospital rates by 75%, the Netherlands decreased its hospital rates by only 10%, which meant that until recently, up until 2004 or so, most people with serious mental illnesses were treated inside psychiatric institutions. Beautiful institutions, mind you, but still institutions nevertheless. There was very little movement from inpatient services to community-based care, although many community-based institutions were in fact emerging in that time period. More recently, the government has begun cutting back its long-term care support and building psychiatric units within general hospitals like we have, and attaching more psychologists to general practitioner offices, called primary care in Europe, to deal with behavior problems and everyday emotional issues. It has also merged its funding streams so that physical care and mental health care are funded by the same government entity to reduce barriers in integration. However, as more people are transferred to community care and fewer funds are available, many of the same issues of fragmentation of services for individuals with serious psychiatric conditions are emerging in the Netherlands that the U.S. has faced, such as the lack of communication, the fact that there are few providers of general medicine who are trained to work with people with lived experience, and the lack of attention to preventative care, etc. So, what does the Netherlands have to teach us about integrated care, even though its healthcare system is really excellent? Unfortunately, not much. Let's turn to Sweden for a moment. In Sweden, the entry point for healthcare is primary care, and that is for everyone. There are secondary levels of care, that is specialty care, so if you need a dermatologist or a specialist of some kind, you go to what's called the secondary level, and then the tertiary level of psychiatric hospitals and long-term care hospitals exists. But everyone has a primary care physician. Primary care, however, gets funded by the number of patients who are enrolled in any one particular practice. So if a person does not make a choice about which primary care office or which GP practice they want to belong to, they are assigned by the government. 70% of Swedish citizens get care in the public sector, 30% pay privately. So it's still pretty much a public sector system. The government gives a certain amount per patient, but the money follows the patient. So if the patient doesn't like a particular general practitioner's office or the care they're receiving, they can go and register at some other practice, and the money that is paid for them goes with them. The system is designed to pay more and give more resources for higher needs. So therefore, healthier people produce less revenue for these practices. General practitioners get extra money for providing preventative care, that is, discussing smoking, exercise, etc. If they use fewer secondary, that is, specialist or long-term care services, the practice gets a bonus. so they are motivated to keep people healthy and within their own practice. As the system became more aware of shorter life expectancy for people with serious mental illnesses or psychiatric conditions, the government gave more money for general practitioners to meet with folks around their physical health issues. Sounds wonderful. However, in reality, one of the problems has to do with the fact that the average general practitioner sees 3 to 4 patients per hour, because remember, they're paid by the patient, and so each person gets about 15 minutes, kind of like our general practitioner offices. And this works for most average physical health care. One of the problems in getting people in general practice to serve people with serious mental health conditions or psychiatric conditions is that working with people really takes more time, more than 15 minutes. For most folks, the idea of taking tests, taking blood work, taking their clothes off is an uncomfortable process, as it is for anyone. For someone with trauma issues, with problems focusing, with problems of engaging with practitioners, with any kind of barrier to receiving services, it just takes more time. It could be an hour of time. However, the general practitioner is not paid for an hour of service. They're only paid for those 15 minutes. If the person is referred to a specialist, the specialists are leery of serving folks with a lived experience, because often the same issues get in the way of people showing up for those appointments, making the appointments, following through on the appointments, dealing with the transportation issues, etc. Whereas when someone is within a psychiatric institution, they have physical and mental health care integrated under one roof. So in Sweden, there is no barrier, structural barrier to collaboration. People do try to communicate, etc. But in practical terms, the incentivizing system makes it difficult for general practitioners to really provide the kind of in-depth services that would be needed to produce better outcomes for people with lived experience. In addition, the same concerns as occur in the Netherlands and the United States occurs in Sweden, and that is the lack of training for general practitioners in how to best serve individuals with lived experience and multiple concerns. The lack of support and rehearsal and preparation for people before they go to the general practitioner's office, in knowing what to expect and how to be a self-advocate and involved patient. In conclusion, what are the lessons we can learn from the Netherlands and from Sweden? We learn that even in systems with better general health outcomes provided at a lower cost to the public, the integration of medical care and mental health care outside of psychiatric institutions is a universal problem still in search of a solution. Thank you for your attention.